And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. You know, I've said this before, and I'll continue to say this, but controlled media has a phrase that they live by. If it bleeds, it leads. It doesn't matter if it's print or if it's radio or television. Murder and mayhem will grab a headline and be above the fold in print media, and it will lead the broadcast, whether it's your local news, national news, or even your local radio news station. It seems that the bloodlust of this nation is unquenchable, especially for the loony left, the militant left, the Marxist left. School shootings have happened in abundance. It seems that most of them are perpetrated by transgender, mentally ill individuals. But it's not just the trannies that are out there spilling blood. And it's driven by the Marxist ideology that has been rampant on college campuses for 60 years. This Marxist ideology has been promoted in institutions of higher learning. And we see this because anytime a conservative voice tries to go and speak on a campus, the loony left students and the faculty raise Cain and do everything they can to disrupt or cancel these events. You know, back in my day, the university was the last bastion of debate and opposing viewpoints. Everybody was allowed to speak their mind, but it's an inconvenient truth, to steal a line from Al Gore, and we can't have this anymore. And I brought this up with Sandra at the office one day, and we were talking, and she said, what are you going to talk about for the last program of the month? Because normally when we're putting everything together, I'll have one or two radio shows already done, and I'll write the descriptions that go in our newsletter. The newsletter has to be done by the middle of the month so we can get it printed and mailed to everyone, and they'll get it around the first of the month. And I told her that with everything going on, I think I'm going to talk about a civil war looming in this country. And it's not going to be like the first civil war, where the propagandists would have you believe that it was to free slaves. No, this was a civil war that was fought because the manufacturers in the North wanted to tax the farmers in the South and get richer on their backs. And those in the South saw what it was and said, not going to happen. So they seceded. They left the Union. It wasn't about slavery. No, this second Civil War that will rip this nation to shreds will be based along ideological lines. Because now it appears to me that the loony left has declared outright war against Christians, and conservatives. And I'm afraid that it's going to lead to the destruction of this nation. The Constitution holds no sway to the loony left. These are the same people who will tell you that the First Amendment right of free speech means that it's speech that doesn't hurt somebody's feelings. That's their definition. And there were a number of people when Charlie Kirk was assassinated that celebrated because Charlie Kirk believed in the Second Amendment. And they said it was karma coming back to visit Charlie Kirk that he was killed by a gun. Well, the gun didn't kill him. Somebody who had been brainwashed into Marxist ideology crawled up on the roof with the rifle and shot Charlie in the neck. But when I told Sandra what I wanted to talk about, she replied in an email to me with this, and I'm going to quote Sandra directly. She said, quote, "Not only is civil war looming, but I think unless the justice system drastically improves, vigilante justice may ensue. I'm no advocate for either, but when there is no remedy in the courts and civil systems, people may take matters into their own hands," close quote. Wise words from Sandra. It could lead to a vigilante justice system. We don't need that. Neither Sandra nor myself will condone that. But the earmarks of history are being repeated over and over with the propaganda that's being spread through social media, controlled media, professors and universities. We are indoctrinating our children into a Marxist ideology that will lead to the destruction of this nation. And I mentioned Charlie Kirk. You know, when Charlie Kirk first started Turning Point USA, I was intrigued. I thought, well, this could be something that would be beneficial to this nation. Maybe it would bridge the divide that was growing. At the time, I didn't know a lot about Charlie Kirk, and I don't think many people did in regular citizenry. But it didn't take Charlie long to come out and profess that he was a Christian. And I've got an audio that I want to share from Charlie Kirk about his beliefs.
In fifth grade, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm a sinner, I'm selfish, I'm broken, and only thanks to Jesus' perfect sacrifice, coming and living a perfect life, that I get something I do not earn, but has been given to me, this free gift of eternal life.
This free gift of eternal life. There is a war against Christianity, as well as a war against conservatives. Christians are being targeted more and more. And if you think back to the Bolshevik Revolution, who were the number one targets besides the rich, the bourgeoisie, as they called them? It was Christians. When the Bolsheviks got in charge, they burned churches. They turned churches into whorehouses. They killed Christians abundantly. But after Charlie was assassinated, there were a number of people celebrating, but there were also a number of people who were deeply distraught by his murder. One of them was an anchor, a news anchor at an ABC affiliate. Her name was Benny Ray Harmony. She was suspended after she delivered a heartfelt message to her audience because she had spoken with Charlie Kirk. She had done some things with Turning Point USA. When she resigned, she said, quote, "I have formally resigned from WICS ABC News Channel 20, effective immediately. This is guided by values that are essential to who I am. to which I refuse to set aside in order to keep a job. I choose my faith and love of country and always will. I love you all from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Springfield. She was suspended after giving a tribute to Charlie Kirk on the newscast. Now, Jimmy Kimmel came out on his nightly propaganda program, and he lied. He said that a MAGA shooter had killed Charlie Kirk, and that enraged a number of conservatives. The chairman of the FCC demanded that Kimmel be suspended. I think that was overstepping the bounds of his job at the FCC, big time. That's the government violating the First Amendment. The government cannot tell you what you can and cannot say. And the chairman erred on that side. However, ABC suspended Kimmel. I think it ended up being, what, 5 shows? Something like that. That was ABC's prerogative as a corporation that Kimmel works for. Likewise, there are other station owners, conglomerates, that pay a fee to ABC to broadcast ABC's feed. These people decided that they were going to pull Jimmy Kimmel's show from their lineup. And that's their prerogative. They could broadcast replays of old sitcoms or something in that time slot. That's their prerogative. But the way you implement change on something like that, look at what happened with Colbert. His ratings were abysmal. People quit tuning in. They quit supporting his sponsors. The network was losing tens of millions of dollars a year. It was basically paying for dead air. The only people that watched it were the hardcore Marxists. They thought Colbert was funny. He turned it into a democratic platform where he could spew his propaganda. He got canceled because they were losing money. That's how business works. Well, Kimmel's losing money too, but not enough yet for Disney ABC to pull him. So what do? As a viewer, you don't turn him on. As a viewer, you don't support the people that sponsor that garbage. And that's how you get rid of that program. TV shows get canceled all the time. All the time. Because of lack of viewer support. But the FCC did overstep their bounds by demanding Kimmel not be able to say anything he wants. But if you think about it, John Kerry, in a forum, talked about controlling the First Amendment. John Kerry is just as guilty as the chairman of the FCC. Listen to what John Kerry had to say about the First Amendment.
Look, if people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick and, has an agenda and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, hammer it out of existence. So what we need is to win the ground, win the right to govern by hopefully having, winning enough votes that you're free to be able to implement change.
So if the source these people go to is sick, this was basically what happened with the disinformation, misinformation, Ministry of Truth that Alejandro Mayorkas tried to put together. They want to control the message. That is the ultimate goal of these Marxists. Why do you think Pravda, which stands for truth, was the only newspaper that the Russian people could read? Because it was truth. It was governmental truth, and that's what John Kerry wants. And I've talked about this before, but the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 regulated government information and propaganda programs abroad. Not domestic, abroad. Under Obama, this law was amended to allow the State Department media products to effectively propagandize by publishing, circulating, and distributing this garbage within our country. They claimed that it was due to the internet and other social media platforms that the Smith-Mundt Act didn't properly protect the Americans from propaganda, because once it was out there on the internet, anybody could access it. So we have to redo it. For 64 years, this act was in place, and it protected Americans from the government running disinformation propaganda campaigns. It prevented the State Department and the Broadcasting Board of Governors from broadcasting materials at home out of concern they would be used to manipulate public opinion. But in 2012, there was an amendment. There was a modernization of the Smith-Mundt Act, sponsored by a Republican from Texas, Mac Thornberry, and Adam Smith, a Democrat from Washington, that embedded in the 2013 National Defense Authorization Act the ability for the government to propagandize Americans. The modifications created mechanisms to influence public opinion while avoiding direct accountability. The content, technically for foreign audiences, was available domestically upon request rather than direct distribution, but allowed funding to flow through intermediary organizations that gave plausible deniability to government officials while shaping what they wanted pushed. A well-documented government-backed propaganda campaign? How about the promotion of COVID narratives and measures? Yes. The Biden administration paid nearly $1 billion to hundreds of news organizations. Get these news organizations. How about ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, The New York Post, The LA Times, The Washington Post. There were countless other local outlets that were part of the Department of Health and Human Services media campaign to advertise COVID vaccines. Congress and the administration set aside nearly $2 billion for vaccine promotion. They targeted young people, people of color, and conservatives. The White House enlisted dozens of social media influencers. There were TikTok creators, YouTubers, celebrities paid to market vaccines to young Americans. The NIH ran Facebook advertising experiments promoting vaccines. Facebook provided financial and logistical support as part of this disinformation campaign. And recently, Google admitted that they censored content creators under Biden. Google kicked off of YouTube content creators due to political speech violations on topics such as COVID-19 and the elections. Google also admitted, ready for this? Number one, the Biden administration pressured Google to censor Americans and remove content that did not violate YouTube's policies. Number two, the Biden administration's censorship pressure was unacceptable and wrong. Number three, public debate should never come at the expense of relying on authorities. And number four, Google, the company, will never use third-party fact-checkers. This was all part of the settlement. But now it's coming out that the Biden administration was censoring people who did not promote the same garbage that the Biden administration wanted everyone to hear and follow. Government censorship, a direct violation of the First Amendment. And Google went along with it. Facebook went along with it. Twitter, before Elon Musk bought it out, censored content creators. They blacklisted conservative posts. They blacklisted doctors. I'm talking about all the social media platforms. Doctors who promoted ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Anybody that did not promote the jab got shadow banned, got their accounts blocked, suspended, canceled, all of the above, under pressure from the Biden administration. And controlled media kept promoting St. Fauci as the savior of this entire planet because he was pushing the jab. They ran fluff programs about St. Fauci. They venerated St. Fauci. And anybody who dared question what Fauci was saying were canceled, were labeled propagandists, when in fact it was Fauci, the NIH, and the Biden administration who were pushing propaganda and silencing truth tellers. Has this got you riled up yet? When you start seeing how much the federal government did during the scamdemic to control your every thought, your every action, because they wanted complete control. It sounds just like the Bolshevik Revolution of Tsarist Russia. They're continuing their onslaught against conservatives, against Christians. But wait, there's more. Why was Charlie Kirk assassinated? He was exercising his right to free speech. Charlie would go to college campuses. He was not protesting. He was engaging in peaceful intellectual discussions. He had question and answer sessions. He debated students who participated freely. But a survey was released just a day before Charlie was assassinated showing the number of college students who believe that violence is an acceptable way to stop campus speech they don't like. But these numbers are going to freak you out. They boggled my mind. 1 in 3 students believe some level of violence is acceptable to stop a campus speech. The survey questioned more than 68,000 students at 257 colleges and universities nationwide. And it was on a variety of free speech topics. 7% of the students who identified as liberal said it's always acceptable to use violence to shut down speech. 7%. 8% of conservative students said the same thing. The chief research advisor, Sean Stevens, said, quote, "This finding cuts across partisan lines. It is not a liberal or conservative problem. It's an American problem," close quote. Also, a majority of students surveyed responded it was acceptable to block other students from attending a campus speech. 54% of students said that it was acceptable to block other students from attending a campus speech. This is an indictment on the entire system of education. Our schools are failing to educate our students about the most basic God-given rights and the respect that they deserve. This is extremely dangerous to the Republic. You want to talk about destroying the democracy of America? College campuses are doing this. Now, Michael Schellenberger, I've posted other items of his on different broadcasts. I think he does some outstanding work. He appeared on Jesse Waters on his Fox show talking about how Democratic leaders are dehumanizing and degrading conservatives. And he had a suggestion of what needs to happen from the Democratic leaders and the controlled media pushing this narrative.
We as a society need to call on those Democrat leaders who have been dehumanizing, degrading conservatives, Republicans. Dehumanization is what precedes atrocities. And we've known that historically for a very long time. And that's what we saw happen. They need to renounce what they were saying about fascism, about Nazism. They need to take accountability that there are consequences for what they were doing. And it was to program an entire generation into an utterly absurd fantasy that the United States was being taken over by fascism. I mean, you saw it on the bullet casings of the alleged assassin himself. You know, look, this shooter, this alleged shooter, he's downstream from, you know, at least a decade or more of that dehumanization. It's a terrible tragedy. Obviously, he should be held accountable. But he was a result of those years of dehumanizing Republicans and conservatives.
Before we hit our halftime break, I want to play what Michael Schellenberger had to say about the left.
Ultimately, what the left has become is a death cult. You see it on the climate discourse, on trans, on the conversation around race, around class, around the United States of America. It's anti-American. It's anti-civilization. The left has been looking for the fences of civilization, the foundations of civilization, and has been attacking them one by one. Meritocracy, law and order, all the way down to the basic fundamental building blocks of life, which is men and women and families. So the Democrats, they became a radicalized party. It's a radicalized left. Everybody knows the history. It comes right out of the universities and colleges. Those students graduate. They go into the media. As Tim Pool was just saying, you could see it in the news coverage starting around 2012, this increase of radical left language like white supremacy, this accusations of racism, all of those increase fed by social media, but again, with an underlying anti-American, anti-civilization ideology that itself promotes violence, that itself promotes revolution, that since the 1960s, there's been this idea on the left of so-called repressive tolerance, that you need to shut down speakers.
Now, he mentioned that it's been a decade. This young alleged shooter has been downstream of this propaganda. And he mentioned it started around 2013. Now, I brought this up just a few minutes ago. But what happened in 2012? The Modernization Act of the Smith-Mundt Act, where it allowed the government to propagandize American citizens. Well, they tried to put in stopgaps to keep it from being misused, but they were token blocks. They weren't really meant to do anything to stem the tide of propagandizing against American people. This is where the outright attack on our democratic republic began. Was under the Obama administration. And there were some weak-kneed conservatives, so-called, that played along. Let's be bipartisan. Let's take care of this. They had to know what they were doing. By weakening the Smith-Mundt Act and allowing NGOs, not the government itself, now they have plausible deniability, but allowing NGOs to send money, and a lot of it's taxpayer money, don't kid yourself, to these propaganda wings. And it has taken off like a wildfire through social media like TikTok, like Facebook, like Twitter, like Instagram. These platforms are disseminating the propaganda just as Obama, Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, Jeffries, all the loony left had hoped for. Well, I've got to take a brief pause, but I've got a whole lot more to cover on the other side. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about an outstanding documentary that we're offering through the ministry entitled Dreams from My Real Father, A Story of Reds and Deception. At age 18, Barack Obama admittedly arrived at Occidental College a committed revolutionary Marxist. What was the source of Obama's foundation in Marxism? Throughout his 2008 presidential campaign and term in office, questions have been raised regarding Barack Obama's family background, economic philosophy, and fundamental political ideology. Dreams from My Real Father is the alternative Barack Obama autobiography, offering a divergent theory of what may have shaped our 44th president's life and politics. In Dreams from My Real Father, Barack Obama is portrayed by a voiceover actor who chronicles Barack Obama's life journey in socialism from birth through his election to the presidency. The film begins by presenting the case that Barack Obama's real father was Frank Marshall Davis, a Communist Party USA propagandist who likely shaped Obama's worldview during his formative years. Barack Obama sold himself to America as the multicultural ideal, a man who stood above politics. Was the goat-herding Kenyan father only a fairy tale to obscure a Marxist agenda, irreconcilable with American values? This fascinating narrative is based in part on 2 years of research, interviews, newly unearthed footage and photos, and the writings of Davis and Obama himself. Dreams from My Real Father weaves together the proven facts with reasoned logic in an attempt to fill in the obvious gaps in Obama's history. Is this the story Barack Obama should have told, revealing his true agenda for fundamentally transforming America? To understand Obama's plans for America, the question is, who is the real father? This is a 95-minute DVD produced by Joel Gilbert. We're only asking $20. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $26 for Dreams from My Real Father. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart by going to powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for Dreams from My Real Father right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. If you care to fax in your order, just write down your name, your address, your charge card information, expiration date, and you can fax it to us here at 512-263-9793. Make sure you write a note saying, I want Dreams from My Real Father, and we'll get it processed and coming to you just like every other method. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Now, if you can send in a couple extra dollars to help the ministry, we could really use your support. It got a little lean there, and we've got all our bills paid, but it would be nice to have a little extra to print some more books and do some other things that Sandra and I are working on. We want to thank you for your continued prayers, your continued support for this ministry. It means a lot to us, and we will keep carrying on the fight that Texmars begun so long ago. Again, thank you so much. May God richly bless each and every one of you. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. Now, Michael Schellenberger talked about the Democrat cult. Charlie Kirk warned about this death cult. He said, quote, "When people stop talking, that's when you get violence. That's when civil war happens. Because you start to think the other side is so evil and they lose their humanity." Close quote. Charlie Kirk saw this coming. Not his assassination. I'm sure he had an inkling of an idea that he was a threat to the loony left. But I don't think he ever saw himself being assassinated, because he was engaging in conversation with young people, trying to dispel the garbage that their professors were feeding them. But he wanted to talk about ideas. He had tremendous gifts for debate. But at all of his Turning Point meetings, he always professed his belief in Jesus Christ, unwavering in his faith. But Charlie Kirk was a direct threat to the Marxists that want to destroy this country. They had no answer for Charlie's ability to get a message across to the young people. And more young people were starting to listen to Charlie Kirk. Despite all of the loony leftists on campus trying to shut down any discourse at the university level. Tyler Robinson is the alleged shooter. He's a poster boy for Democrat violence. He joins the likes of Luigi Mangione, the guy who killed United Healthcare CEO, shot him right in the back of the head, right in broad daylight. They have turned Mangione into a cult figure. They have a play on Broadway, I think. They are promoting Mangione as a savior. It is a cult. It is a death cult. And the propaganda machine is celebrating this political violence. It's being excused by a number of political leaders. The corporate media is fawning all over these assassins. The more they propagate this garbage, the more people are going to believe it. Downstream, just like Michael Schellenberger said, if you multiply this hateful rhetoric by corporate legacy media spitting it out on a daily basis, this is what you get. Miranda Devine is a columnist for the New York Post. She called out this Democrat assassination culture that has been growing for years, since Trump was first elected. They tried to kill Trump twice. Representative Steve Scalise was shot. They tried to massacre other Republican congressmen at this park where they were practicing playing baseball. We have transgender shooters killing children at their schools. We have Democrat leaders threatening violence against conservatives, employing their followers to act. Charlie Kirk said weeks before he was assassinated, quote, "Assassination culture is spreading on the left. 48% of liberals say it would be at least somewhat justified to murder Elon Musk. 55% said the same about Donald Trump." It's a death cult. And after Charlie was assassinated, the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker blamed the assassination on Charlie Kirk himself. Now, Charlie called his organization Turning Point. Turning Point USA. America has reached a turning point. What we do going forward will impact whether we descend into the abyss of another civil war or we become an open society, open to discourse, to debate, and we get rid of the violence. But the loony left hasn't been able to let go. They continue to honor George Floyd as this great American. And they are comparing his death to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. They are distorting reality, but they're pushing this garbage. Let's look at George Floyd. He had a long criminal history. He had violent armed robbery in which he pointed a gun at a pregnant woman. He had a lethal dose of fentanyl in his system when he died. What happened when he died? Cities across America burned. There were months of destructive riots. 30 people died during these riots. There was $3 billion in property damage inflicted on small businesses, churches, and entire neighborhoods. Police stations were burned. Courthouses were vandalized. But it was all rationalized in the name of justice. After Charlie was assassinated, what happened? There hasn't been a single riot. There's been no looting. Neighborhoods haven't burned. But it hasn't kept the death cult from mocking his assassination. Social media has been flooded with thousands of posts from people celebrating the assassination, the murder of Charlie Kirk. There is a TikTok user that has called for Charlie Kirk's widow and children, as well as elected officials and CEOs, to be murdered next. This is an article by Jordan Conradson at thegatewaypundit.com. Thegatewaypundit.com. This woman goes by the names of Nori Bell on TikTok and Estoy Ducusi on Instagram. She has a TikTok video encouraging violence against Charlie Kirk's wife, their two young children, the parents and grandparents. She said, quote, "Y'all keep on talking about his wife and kids. They need to go too because they're carrying on that mentality and that lineage. Like, get rid of the whole family. Why did you stop with him?" Close quote. Oh, she continues. "Go get his grandma, because who raised you? Like, your mom ought to be ashamed for birthing a scum like you. Get rid of the whole family." Close quote. She's also called for the death of those above him. She wants the mayor, your council. She wants all of them murdered. She then goes on to invoke the words, quote, "revolution and progress." And the text in the video that she posted says, quote, "don't let it stop with Charlie," close quote. Is the left a death cult? There is no doubt. The mental illness is real. And I've never been a fan of Bill Maher. He is an avowed liberal. But I will tell you this, what Bill Maher has done, this is crazy. He has become the center, not the left. He had Charlie Kirk on his program just a few months ago. And he made the comment, Bill Maher made the comment, that people on the right are more willing to engage and talk with others. But the left is not the same way. Bill Maher said, quote, "Charlie Kirk was always willing to engage. Say what you want about right-wingers, but they'll talk to you. The left has more of a, I won't talk to you, you're deplorable, I can't break bread with you. Right-wingers don't have that attitude." I saw a clip on Twitter a couple days ago where he actually smacked down Rob Reiner, one of the preeminent loony leftists that thinks that he's God's gift, Meathead from the Archie Bunker show. He thinks that he is God's gift to America, that his ideals are the only way to go. And Bill Maher shot him down because Rob Reiner won't break bread with a conservative. He doesn't want anything to do with us. Unbelievable. Now, have you heard of the group Armed Queers of Salt Lake City? I had not. I found this article in thegatewaypundit.com by Cullen Linebarger. Thegatewaypundit.com is a tremendous place to go for news. I go there, I go to Breitbart.com, and I go to CitizenFreePress.com every day, just looking for headlines for things that might prompt an article, a program, or things that just pique my interest. Because I'm always thinking, I'm always wondering what's going on, what other people are thinking, what other people are doing. What can we do to make this country better? But the Armed Queers of Salt Lake bragged about a trip to Cuba in May of 2025. They trained with militant Marxists to stage a revolution in America when they returned home. Armed Queers of Salt Lake City. Well, if you ever use Twitter, there is one person on there that goes by the title Data Republican. She does tremendous research. And if you can find her, whoo, she does so much research and she posts it and it goes in a thread that she will continue until she has given you all the information she's gathered. She does outstanding work. Well, Data Republican uncovered ties between Armed Queers of Salt Lake City's primary leader, Irmaya Fanayan, and various government entities. Very intriguing. Fanayan is an Iranian immigrant and self-identified communist who has been honored by the State Department, United Nations, and her ties to State Department-affiliated non-governmental organization Global Diplomacy. Get this. Almost all of the money Utah Global Diplomacy receives comes from the government, which means we have been funding her activities. Fanayan was also a speaker at a UN event focused on LGBTQ+ nonprofits. Fanayan was honored as a young diplomat of Utah. Militant connections. We're getting there. Now, just this past week, September 24th, 2025, there was a gunman who opened fire at an Immigration and Customs Enforcement field office in Dallas. He shot three people. He killed two of them. One of them is still, at the time I'm recording this, in critical condition. But he didn't shoot ICE agents. He shot criminal immigrants who had been rounded up. They were in a van being transported to this facility. But wait, there's more. Last month, Bratton Dean Wilkinson was arrested after claiming he had a bomb in his backpack and showed what he claimed was a detonator. The shooting at the Dallas ICE office marks the third attack on Homeland Security facility in Texas this year. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem blamed anti-ICE rhetoric in politics and the media for fueling violence. She pointed to repeated comparisons of ICE officers to the Nazi Gestapo, secret police, and slave patrols, warning that such language endangers lives. Downstream, like Schellenberger said, this rhetoric, this propaganda that was legalized under Obama, and much of the anti-ICE propaganda is fueled by controlled mainstream media. They are framing deportation arrests as mistakes even when the facts prove they're justified. Some have even claimed that the deportees are U.S. citizens. Incorrect. But it doesn't matter. Once it's out there, they can issue a retraction tomorrow. But nobody's going to know about that retraction. They're going to see the first broadcast that said that they are arresting U.S. citizens and deporting them. And they're going to believe that. And it's going to ferment. And it's going to lead to more disruptive content put out there by the propagandists. And it's going to fire up the activists that are willing to go out and kill people. But TikTok and other social media platforms are continuing to openly call for violence. There is a new report from Nerevance entitled Escalating Anti-ICE Rhetoric and Real World Threat Convergence. It warns that this online propaganda is increasingly translating into real world violence against federal law enforcement. The analysts found a 700% spike in assaults on officers and a rise in ambush-style attacks on ICE facilities since early 2025. This report highlights activist websites and viral TikTok trends that disguise calls for flash mob-style disruptions at ICE locations. It cites the violent protests in L.A., the July 4th ambush on a Texas detention center where 10 armed suspects attacked and wounded an officer, as examples of digital activism escalating into physical violence. TikTok has become a major platform for this incitement. Townhall.com, that's another good news source. They report that left-wing groups are paying social media influencers to spread coordinated anti-ICE propaganda, particularly targeting young audiences. Many of these posts used identical scripts, which point to a centralized coordination. It is an organized attack. But there are some that have been lifelong Democrats who are beginning to see the light. There was a post on Twitter from the Walk Away campaign. These are people that used to vote Democrat. And after they saw the reaction of all the nut jobs celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk, they felt the need to get on TikTok and post comments. I'm going to play some of these for you.
The left has a violence problem and Charlie Kirk being shot is proof. If you actually believe in free speech, if you actually believe in democracy, you cannot be cheering on violence just because it's happening to one of your political opponents. This isn't how healthy countries act, and this isn't going to end well for anyone.
She's right. This isn't going to end well. Here's another gentleman.
Democrats right now, it seems like all they think about is, oh my God, he disagreed with me. Oh my God, he doesn't agree with me. Oh my God, he disagreed with me. I'm sorry, but I cannot be a part of a party that's doing that, because that's not a party. That is a cult.
He's correct. That is a cult. Here's another gentleman talking about Democrats.
I just came here to announce my official divorce from the Democratic Party. This party has lost its way. The Democratic Party, let's be honest, has become demonic and barbaric. And I, as a Christian, can't be a part of that anymore.
I, as a Christian, cannot be part of that anymore. And just today, as I was preparing to record, Donald Trump, there was a news clip of him in the Oval Office talking about current events, what's happened, what's transpiring, how the Democrats are becoming a death cult, and the rights haven't responded yet. Listen to what Donald Trump had to say.
The radical left is causing this problem. Not the right, the radical left. And it's going to get worse, and ultimately it's going to go back on them. I mean, bad things happen when they play these games. And I'll give you a little clue. The right is a lot tougher than the left. But the right's not doing this. They're not doing it. And they better not get them energized, because it won't be good for the left. And I don't want to see that happen either. I'm the president of all the people. But the radical left is causing this. The radical left Democrats are causing this problem. And it gets worse. It gets worse. And it'll be a point where other people won't take it anymore, and that will not be good for the radical left. And we don't want that.
No, President Trump, it won't be good. It won't be good for this country. Because eventually, conservatives are going to get their fill. And they are going to get retribution. Like Sandra said, this could lead to vigilante justice. I can see it coming. I'm afraid that it's coming. And I'm afraid that we are on the brink. I could see it happening in the next 3 to 5 years, where the right has felt so denigrated, so oppressed, that they are going to lash out. Now, it's not going to be like the original Civil War, the first one, where it's divided upon a boundary line. No. No, because conservatives come in every shape, color, background, economic status, it matters not. And when they are oppressed enough, they will react. It's not going to end well for this country. Neighbor will be pitted against neighbor. There is a definite attack on Christianity. Was Charlie Kirk silenced because he was a Christian or because he was out there trying to educate the masses on the mind control that has warped their viewpoints? Charlie Kirk reached millions of young Americans. His TPUSA was doing tremendous work, and it will continue under his wife, Erica. She has taken over as the CEO. There are a number of people who will now pick up the mantle and continue to address the disparities that the loony left is trying to implement against conservatives. Is there a civil war coming? I can possibly see it. Because the Marxists want to destroy the Constitution. They want to destroy our institutions. Socialism is very popular with the young. They believe the government should take care of everything for you. The propaganda that was unleashed during the Obama regime from our federal government has fomented the hatred, the death cult of the loony left. We are in dire straits as a country. If we do not stand together, we will all fall. If you look back and research what happened in Tsarist Russia, there weren't millions of people who took part in destroying the political apparatus under the Tsar. 2,000-3,000 angry, violent people were persuaded to unleash unbelievable hell on the Russian people. And they took complete control over that country. If we allow, unchecked, the Marxists to continue to move forward, we will fall just like Tsarist Russia. It took Russia reaching the pits of depression before they pulled up their bootstraps and got rid of the communists. There is a civil war looming in this country, I'm afraid. We all need to stand together. We need to pray together. And I talked about this with Pastor Butch a long time back. But there's no way that God can bless this country. We have become a godless society. And I even believe I saw a clip with Charlie Kirk talking about the fact that the Constitution was based on God-given rights. And when you become a godless society, the two don't go together. Charlie Kirk was a tremendous spokesperson for the Constitution and for Jesus Christ. We need to get out there and we need to witness and we need to do everything we can to prevent this looming civil war. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.